Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, October the 20th. The air is getting chillier, the leaves are falling off the trees, and the racing season is winding down. In action this week was the NHRA out at the Texas Motorplex near Houston. For Dallas, actually, in the NASCAR's Sprint Cup Series and Xfinity Series was out in Kansas. And the NHRA has two races left to go. They'll be off this weekend and then back in Vegas. And NASCAR will be at Talladega. Hoping to be joined in a little bit by Erica Anders, who took home the Wally this weekend as she inches closer to the Pro Stock Championship, which would be back-to-back. She has 8-round lead, and there's only 8 rounds to go, so we'll be talking to her. Last week was a bit of a debacle, but we did manage to get a hold of Dina Parisi, the IHRA Pro Mod champ. She was just crowned last weekend, so I was able to tape that. We'll have that later on in the show. So I know she'll be checking it out as well. But anyway, Xfinity race, which was on Saturday, it looked like an easy day for Matt Kenseth, who led 4 times for 148 laps, only to be bounced at the end by Joe Gibbs' teammate Kyle Busch, who took home the checker, leading 4 times for 56 laps. What can you say about Kyle Busch? He is the winningest driver in the Xfinity Series, and he keeps adding to that. I think if he ran for the Xfinity Championship, he'd have about a dozen of them by now. But being he's running the Cup Series for points and in the chase, he is ineligible for Xfinity Series points. Because after a lot of Cup drivers were winning the Xfinity title, they decided to choose which series you were going to run for points on, and obviously the Cup Series guys were going to pick the Cup Series to run for points in. So that leaves Xfinity regulars for the championship, unless you pull an Elliott Sadler and leave the Cup Series, go back down to the Xfinity Series to try to win a championship there, but he hasn't yet. So, goes, it was 204 laps. I had to run for a green-white checker, but it's only 100.5-mile track, so 200 laps is 300 miles. So they ran a little bit of overtime, took 2 hours, 31 minutes, 10 seconds, average speed, 121.4. Margin of victory, 0.607. So that last restart, enough to get Kyle Busch the lead that he could hold on to take the checker. Defeated Matt Kenseth. In third place was Joey Logano. Ty Dillon came in fourth. Reagan Smith was fifth. Chris Buescher was sixth. Seventh, Chase Elliott. Eighth was Ryan Sieg. Ninth, Daniel Suarez. And tenth was Brendan Gaughan. Chris Buescher leads the points. He's got a 27-point lead over Chase Elliott. Reagan Smith is third. Ty Dillon, fourth. Darrell Wallace Jr., fifth. Elliott Sadler, sixth. Daniel Suarez, seventh. Eighth, Brendan Gaughan, ninth. Brian Scott, and tenth, Ryan Reed. Or 8 cautions for 42 laps in the race. And 7 lead changes, 2 drivers. That was basically a Busch-Kenseth day. Well, right now I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest. A regular guest on the show is none other than the defending NHRA Pro Stock champ, Erica Ender Stevens. Erica, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. How you doing?
Oh, good. I know when we had you on at the beginning of, before the countdown started, you were all set to go in, and then all of a sudden you go in, you win your first race of the countdown, which three in a row. Then you went up against teammate Drew in the final round the race later, and you had a killer reaction time off the tree, and I guess something broke, and then the week after that as well, something broke. But I guess it looks like you got all the bugs worked out just from the past weekend in Texas.
Yeah, things are definitely looking up and heading in the right direction. I mean, it was really neat to be able to go into the countdown in the number one position, which allowed us to have a 30-point lead over number two, which was Greg Anderson, and then starting the countdown off on the right foot in Charlotte by winning that race was awesome. Going to the finals the following week in St. Louis was really cool. Obviously wish we could have won there as well. It would have been four in a row and definitely a cool record for females, but I was really proud that my teammate Drew Skillman was able to get his first win. And, you know, we had an issue there in the finals and shook and weren't able to get down. And then, of course, in Reading, the rain and the cold weather only allowed us to have one qualifying pass. And then on Sunday, first round and second round, we broke two motors. You know, we broke a motor each round. So Reading was pretty detrimental to us. And we were able to get back to the shop and my engine guys worked really long hours to get everything back together and ready for this past weekend. And it was definitely cool to win in Dallas. I mean, I've never won there before. I've been to a couple finals, but fell short, I guess. So I'm excited to have gotten the win there in Dallas in my home state. And then, of course, that the way the ladder fell was really interesting to have Greg Anderson and Chris Magaha have to run each other first round, who were the number two and number three guys in points. So with Greg going out first and then us beating Chris second round, it was pretty neat to just extend our lead that much more.
I know, and that gives you an eight-round lead with eight rounds to go. So basically to clinch, you just got to get through the second round in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm really not focusing on that, I guess. I mean, we definitely want to win the championship, and, you know, it looks like we're going to probably be able to get that done, but by no means is it over yet. You know, we've got to continue to do our jobs out there, and, you know, we're heading back to a track that has been extremely good to us in the past. I think we have 18 consecutive round wins there, which is just awesome. So I'm definitely looking forward to heading back there, and I'm very optimistic about the outcome. I know that I've got the best guys in the world, and I've been driving really good, and I think that we can definitely go out there and win, and if we do that, you know, we'll be able to clinch. So that's our goal, is to just take it one round at a time, and, you know, I want to win these last two races regardless of when we win and if we secure the championship earlier than Pomona. So I'm excited about what's to come.
That being said, if you win the next two events, that gives you 10 on the season. That's an NHRA season record this year. That'll give you the most out of any division.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, that's definitely a tall order for sure. I mean, there's a lot of tough competition out there and a lot of people that are going to be, you know, going for our throats. But that's how we race as well. And, you know, if it comes down to it, my money's on us. I think that we definitely have the best organization, the best people, and the best equipment. And we'll just continue to do our job.
That's for sure. Oh, you already have the most wins this season in any division at eight at right now. So that would just be like an icing on the cake for that 10 spot. But,
yeah, that would definitely be cool. And that with our eighth win last weekend in Dallas, we passed Angel, who had the most wins in one season for a female, and that was at seven, and we were tied with her at that. So we were able to to get that record as well. And I mean, you know, I've been very vocal about not wanting to be looked at any differently than the other drivers, and I'm just a racer, but along the way we've been able to accomplish a lot of really cool stuff for you know, for the female gender. So that record was definitely a cool one to get.
Well, let's put it this way. You don't want to be looked at differently than any of the other drivers, but apparently you're going to, because you're this year that much better.
Yeah, this year has been incredible. I mean, I don't know, it's surreal. I kind of want to pinch myself to make sure it's all real, but I mean, I've been so blessed to be able to work with such a great group of guys. We have a blast together, you know, and to go out there and have that much fun and be successful while doing it has been a pretty cool opportunity. So this year has just been tremendous. I feel like, honestly, like I'm driving a lot better than I drove last year. You know, I learned a lot last year and was able to better myself. My guys are just making excellent runs. You know, the competition has really come to us. Those two big rule changes at the beginning of the year that we've talked about in the past, the new tire and the new fuel kind of leveled the playing field, I guess. And everybody is just so close, you know, as far as qualifying is concerned. You know, 1 through 16 is just a couple hundredths of a second. So anybody can win on Sunday. It's usually just a driver and a crew chief race. So we've been fortunate to have 8 wins. I've been to 10 finals, 11 if you count the Canon countdown or Canon championship deal. Sorry. So it's been an incredible year. I feel blessed again. I mean, it's just I've dreamt about this my entire life, you know, and to be able to experience it with the guys that I get to work with and to have all of our dreams come true together is pretty neat.
It's amazing how when you go from a team like you were on to elite and everybody gels like that in a short period of time, it just shows the kind of chemistry that you all have together. And it's played out on the track as well. It just seems like you're more energetic every weekend and every round and elimination. Just to build on that, I mean, I've just watched you go from to your, you know, your starting reaction time is like a big difference. And I don't know what happened in the final round, but all through that, when and then running a couple of that with 6.4s throughout the event, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better.
No, you really couldn't. My guys were on it on Sunday, and you know, we think we've come across an issue that we've been having, and that's why we've been hurting some motors, and we were able to fix that, and it just really picked up our performance, to be honest. And I'm so thankful for that, because, you know, yeah, we talk about me leaving and having great reaction times and stuff, but I missed the tree in the finals. I was a little bit late there. I mean, I know 30 is not late for a lot of people, but compared to how I've been driving lately, when I let the clutch pedal out, I was like, oh, I missed that tree. And, you know, Jonathan Gray is known for his ability to leave the starting line as well. So I was hoping that didn't mean the race was over for us, but fortunately enough, our elite performance horsepower was able to get us around Jonathan down at the finish line just by 0.02 of a second. But the performance has really picked up. My guys give me a very consistent race car, and that's what it takes. You know, they pick up the slack when I fall, and vice versa. You know, if we don't make the most excellent run, I get up on the wheel and get the best light that I can. So we work really well together as a team. And you talked about that chemistry. I mean, it's so natural. From the first time I went out and tested with those guys at Phoenix right before the Pomona race in 2014, it was like we had worked together for years. And, you know, being that I had driven Pro Stock for 10 years prior, it's not something that I ever experienced before. I mean, I knew from the start initially that it was something extremely special. So I'm so thankful to Richard Freeman, you know, for picking me to be part of his program. He handpicked all of his employees, and there's a reason why we work so well together. He had a vision and he executed, and we just we have a blast together. It's a very unique environment to work in, and there's a lot of animosity out there because of what we have, and what we have is so special, and money can't buy it. So that's, I think, quite frankly, what makes so many people so mad. But we enjoy each other's company, and we do well together on the racetrack.
It seems more like a family instead of a business with you guys, and I think that's probably why and that everybody looks at you that way, because if you look at all the champions that win multiple championships, they have that same kind of chemistry to where their team is also like a family and they all get along, and it seems that you guys, like you said, gelled from the get-go, and you know, and everybody else has to wonder, what the hell do we do? Because, you know, we can't keep up with that.
Yeah, it's a huge blessing, that's for sure, because people are the most important part of the puzzle, and I know we've talked about that before, but it's just it just goes to show that with the right group, anything is possible. I mean, we're one of the more underfunded teams by no means. You know, we have the best equipment for sure, but we do struggle with our budget, and it just goes to show that with the right people that we're capable of doing anything. So I'm proud of my guys.
Yeah, that's something. Everybody, I know that then something I try to send, hey, if you want to sponsor a car, I always say contact Elite Motorsports. They could use it and you got a champ under your belt. You got a champ who could sell your product. So
exactly. Yeah, we're waiting for the right people. But it's we do the best we can with what we got, and we'll just continue to work on finding the marketing partners. There's somebody out there that can truly benefit from what we do, and we just got to find them.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the toughest part of motorsports is finding that partner out there.
Absolutely.
I happened to catch. Now, this is ironic because I had a DVR of the show, and it was the first episode, and it was Jay Leno's Garage. And there you are with Jay Leno at the track and filming a little segment. And he happened to bring up a question or a statement that I had made to you prior to that. So I wondered when he was asking you racing and your husband racing, and leads to interesting pillow talk. And I remember distinctly asking you that. And I'm pointing at that. I'm yelling to my wife. It's like, made that very same thing.
That's funny.
It's like, so what was it like filming a segment with Jay Leno? And it looked like they had a shoehorn him in that dragster, but.
It was definitely exciting. I mean, I grew up watching, you know, his late night show, and he's got a real passion for cars, and so do we. So it was cool to share that. But you know, the show started off with me picking him up at the front gate of the Fontana racetrack in a 2016 Chevy Camaro SS. It was a 7-speed clutch car. It was really badass, actually. And I picked him up, and we had some small talk and got to know each other a little bit, and he wanted to know my background in the sport and whatnot. And he's obviously a car buff. He's got quite the collection out there. And we were able to teach him how to drive a super comp dragster. So it was definitely a fun day. We were on set all day long to film what came across as maybe like a 5 or 6 minute segment. But it was definitely a neat experience. He's super funny. I mean, it's his personality is pretty cool. So he enjoyed the ride, and actually when he came back from making his first full pass, you know, we asked him, how fast do you think you went? And he was within like 1 or 2 mile an hour of how quick he went. So it was pretty neat that he was that aware of how fast he was going. And he had a blast. So that's all that matters. We opened some eyes to NHRA drag racing in more of a mainstream media market. And that was a pretty cool opportunity.
That was amazing. Were you surprised that he was able to turn that ET with his first time in the car?
No. I mean, he's driven a lot of different things, and it's definitely hard to get the hang of it. You know, the whole starting line procedure, leaving with a trans brake button, he had never done that before. So teaching him the starting line procedure was probably the most challenging part. And once you deck it and let go of that button, you just, you know, try to keep the car in the groove and drive as straight as you can. So he did a good job, and he was definitely excited. You know, we had the cars tuned back a little bit because of insurance purposes. They didn't want us going over like 160 miles an hour, I think, or something like that. So he was kind of pissed about that. And he's like, I want to do it again. I want to go faster. And his production guys were like, no, you're not allowed. And he thought that was bull crap. But it was definitely a fun deal.
I think he's going to sneak down there on his own one day and run it at regular speed that, you know, people going through the school do. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was just wondering what it was like to actually, you know, film a segment with Jay Leno, because he is a car buff, and to see some of that. I'd like to go see his actual garage and all the stuff he's got in it.
Yeah, supposedly pretty incredible. So,
well, he's been in the other part of the show is the Tim the Tool Man, Tim Allen. He has a car collection as well. So just like two guys with massive car collections and having fun at it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I used to watch that show, Tim the Tool Man Taylor. You were about to say all of that, but Home Improvement, I grew up watching Tim Allen's show. So that was a pretty neat deal to have him on the same segment, and I think Jimmy Johnson as well. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
It was, and I grew up watching that too. Actually, I'm a little bit older, so I grew up to watch like Carson into Leno. So it's just amazing how that show's evolved. But that they actually, you know, that they looked for you to film that segment was pretty impressive. And you know, because they could have picked anybody, but then they were getting into your background and how you just about won a championship in every division you've been in, and now getting ready to repeat. How awesome would that be?
Man, that'd be pretty incredible. I'm excited to be in the position to have the opportunity. You know, it's like I said before, we still have our work cut out for us, and the season is by no means over. There are a lot of competitive cars out there, and we'll just continue to do our best, you know. Same mentality we have going into any other race weekend. It's not focusing on the championship, just focusing on that particular weekend. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited about it, though. I can tell you that.
Well, that's cool. How's Sis enjoying all this fun and excitement?
She's having a blast with it as well. I mean, she's my biggest fan and supporter, and it's so nice to have her, you know, at the racetrack with me week in and week out. You know, I'm surrounded by guys, so it's nice to have a chick around every once in a while. And I mean, we're not very girly girls, but, you know, every once in a while it's nice to have a girl to hang out with. So I'm glad to have her around, and she's got a bunch of exciting stuff coming up for herself as well. She just recently got engaged when we were in Reading, and she and Adam are going to get married in January in the Cayman Islands. So that is going to be a lot of fun. My whole team's going to go. So it'll be like a fun little team vacation get together before the season starts in 2016. So it'll be a nice little break away from the shop and all the work that's going on to convert all of the stuff to fuel injection for next year. And we'll go down there and celebrate their marriage and come back and go to work.
Not going to facility. That's something new you haven't, that you've just disclosed, is they're going to fuel injection next year. I didn't realize you were still on carburetors. I thought that was a thing of the past.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming, I think. And it's just, I guess it was pretty sudden, you know, as far as when we had to have everything ready by. They told us when we were in Charlotte, actually, we had a meeting, and they said that the new rule will be implemented January 1, 2016. Everybody's to run fuel injection, and we're going to have a 10,500 RPM rev limiter. So we've got to work on the motors to bring our power curve back down to 10,500 RPM, which is pretty much what we were shifting at 8 years ago. So we're kind of turning the clocks back a little bit and just got to figure out how to get our motors to run at that low of an RPM. And you know, of course, the conversion to fuel injection is going to be very time consuming, and a lot of R&D is going to have to go into that, so it'll be expensive. And you know, but every team's dealt with the same rule, and or is dealt the same rule, and we've all got to kind of reinvent the wheel, I guess, if you will. So we'll have a busy off season, that is for sure.
Sounds like it, because it seems like after last year they've instilled the change the fuel in the new tire rule, and now you have the fuel injection in the lower RPM rule. I don't know why they had to limit your RPMs. I guess they figured it would tear up the fuel injection. I don't know. It's just one of those weird things.
I don't know. They're trying to say that they're saving us money. You know, they think spinning the motors at as high of RPMs as we're spinning them is causing valve springs to break, and they're trying to save us money there. But in the whole grand scheme of things, like, valve springs aren't the most significant cost, you know, so it kind of, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's their sandbox and we just play in it. So we've got to abide by the rules and figure it out. But yeah, it's definitely, that was the rule that everybody, like, if the committee, our committee, Pro Stock committee, got together and talked about everything, and you know, if there's one rule that we wanted changed, we weren't for any of the rule changes as a collectively as a class, but one rule change that they wanted to have amended was the 10,500 limiter. Like, they wanted to have it raised to at least 11,000, and NHRA shut that down pretty quick. So it is what it is, and we've got to figure it out from there.
How high do you rev now?
Every team is different. 11,000, 11,200. You know, we've heard rumor that a couple teams out there are crossing, you know, finish line RPM is, it exceeds 11,500 RPM. So we're not that high. We're just over 11. So relatively, we'll just have to bring it down, you know, 500, 600, 700 RPM, where other teams are having to bring it down over 1,000. So we'll do our best to figure it out and see what happens.
Fortunately, it doesn't sound like it's that much lower than what you're running at as far as your team's concerned. But if somebody's mm-hmm. like that much higher, it might be a bigger issue for them. So I guess it's, like you said, it's probably the valve train is probably the not the most expensive thing as far as it goes. Is it the tires or actually like the bottom end of the engine that is more expensive? I know, like in NASCAR, that other than the motor, the next biggest expense is tires.
Yeah, I mean, tires are expensive. We don't go through them probably like the NASCAR guys do, but because we run ours, you know, for 25 passes, 25 quarter mile runs. So, and we carry with us probably a dozen sets with different rollout, different weight, different run. You know, so when we go through and set up our cars with gearing and transmission and whatnot, we select the tire with the right rollout to go, you know, to where it crosses the finish line at a certain RPM. So it's all like a big math equation, and I'm thankful that my crew chiefs take care of that because it's pretty tedious. But yeah, tires are expensive, but Goodyear is pretty supportive of us. Like, every race we win, they give us a set. You know, if you run her up, you get one tire. So we're able to collect some tires throughout the year with race wins and stuff. So that's definitely helpful, but they're pretty expensive when you got to buy them. But you know, we're looking at about $100,000 to $120,000 to change over to fuel injection per car, per motor. So that is going to be quite expensive. And then I'm not sure the cost associated with, you know, the R&D that's going to go into trying to bring our power curve down to 10,500 RPM. So we'll see what that's all about. I don't know. There's a lot of work ahead of us. But, yeah, that and intake manifold development is for the new fuel injection system. So that'll be pretty expensive as well. So this is definitely a huge blow to every team, but we'll, I guess in the whole grand scheme of things, it'll even out down the road.
Well, let's hope so. Cause I mean, between last year's adjustments and next year's adjustments, I mean, you're almost looking probably close to half to three quarters of $1 million when you add it all together.
Yeah, for sure. So We'll get there.
Well, that's for sure, and hopefully it doesn't, whatever it is, it turns out the way it did this year for you, and that's be the blessing in disguise, I guess.
Yep, for sure. I've definitely got the best guys, the smartest guys in the business working on it, so I have a lot of faith in them, and, you know, it, like I said, it is what it is, and we'll do our best that we can with it, and we'll see what happens. So I'm just I'm excited to be able to finish this season off the way that we are, the way that it's going right now, and definitely exciting. So, you know, if we can secure the championship, it'll be really neat to have the final pro stock championship for when pro stock is normal with carburetors and the old rules. So we'll be the last ones to win that, hopefully, and then go into next year guns blazing, and you know, it's going to be a significant learning curve, but we can accomplish anything. So I'm looking forward to it.
Plan, because it would be neat to, like you said, to be the last one going out with carburetors. It'd also be neat to be the first one coming in with fuel injection and have the hat trick in 16.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a little further down the road. I guess give a congratulations to your sister and for me. And you just had a birthday not too long ago. And happy belated birthday on the air.
Thank you.
You and my wife are a couple days apart as far as the birthdays go.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yep. When's hers?
The 5th.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
So hopefully you'll come on at the end of the season with holding up a big Wally, and we'll recap the whole year, and what a fun trip it's been. I was going to say strange, but it really wasn't that strange.
It's been interesting, but it's been a blast, yeah.
So, and then I guess go have fun at the wedding, and you going doing your hunting trip this year as well with the team?
Yep, we sure are. The weekend after Thanksgiving, we're all going to go hunting at Richard's Ranch, so that'll be fun, and, you know, I really enjoy that. It's downtime for all of us to just kind of relax. You know, you get up to go hunting early, but the rest of the day is kind of just a relaxed deal until you go hunt in the evening, so it's a fun trip. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, of course, we've got SEMA after Vegas and then PRI at the beginning of December. And before you know it, January will be here and we'll be testing and heading out to Pomona again. So I know it'll go by fast, but we've got a lot of work to do, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Well, that's cool. Well, thanks again for joining me, and it's always a pleasure having you on. And it seems like we always have a fun conversation.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on, and we'll talk hopefully after we go out there and do our best and maybe win another championship.
Well, good luck in Vegas and then in Pomona, and we'll be watching. But the only thing that's terrible is the fact that when they air the elimination round, it's always well after the event, so I can't look at really anything until I watch.
Yeah, you can't get on the internet.
All right, have a good one, and we'll catch up with you after the season.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much.
All righty, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. Our guest, Erica Ender Stevens, is joining us on the air. NHRA Pro Stock Champ. It's always fun having her on. We always have a decent conversation. It was funny just seeing her with Jay Leno's Garage. Well, anyway, I'm going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back with my Dina Parisi interview. So she's the IHRA, which is the sister sanctioning body to the NHRA in the Pro Mod division, driving a Cadillac named Stella. So anyway, we'll be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with Erica Enders. So right now I'd like to welcome my next guest. I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest, IHRA Pro Mod Champion, newly crowned this past weekend at Memphis Raceway, actually. Dina Parisi, who was on, I guess, at the beginning of the season, before the journey started, we had her on, and she's joining us back now with taking home the championship crown. Dina, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Talk about full circle, huh?
That's for sure. And you have joined the list of champions that have joined the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Maybe it's good luck. I'd call you in the beginning of the season in 2016.
You know what? We'll put that on the calendar. And
there you go.
Powering that Cadillac and to the championship. You only made it to the semifinals, but I guess it doesn't matter as long as you bring home the big tries. And I really did
want to win that race, though. But doom had really set in, and unfortunately, I had issues seeing the tree. So dead late, Billy was gone. You know, I had been on the tree all day. I treed all of my competitors, but you know, of course, I was dead late against Billy. It was fogged up. I couldn't see the tree, and you know, sometimes these things happen. Thankfully, I had clinched it before then, and you know, it was a done deal. But I certainly would rather have won the race. I mean, I won the championship having two runner-up finishes. You know, I had gone to two finals this season, but I didn't get to close the deal. So, yeah, so I would like to have won the race, but you know. Listen, my team works so incredibly hard. My husband, Andrew, I always say, you know, I don't let him hear these things. I don't want him to get too puffed up or anything, but he really is a one-man band. I mean, we just came back, actually. We drove 14 hours last night. We got up today. He and I unloaded the trailer, and, you know, he's already hard at work doing maintenance. You know, he's very particular about the maintenance on Stella, and It's been a crazy up and down season.
Stella, that's the name of your car's name?
Yeah, her name is Stella. You know, every Italian girl from New York needs a 3,000-horsepower Cadillac, and she's my grandma was a red-headed, fun, crazy Italian, so we thought it suited, and so we named her Stella, and you know, this season, you know, we started out the season, you know, we had some crazy mechanical difficulties. We had new car blues. I mean, I swapped the seat out three times, and we changed the pedals and did so many different things. And you know, I definitely had some difficulties. And then at US 131, I kind of went long. Not kind of, I did. I went long. So, you know, I went to the beach without a bikini. And that was hard, but it made us make a couple of changes after that we realized. And we continued on after there. And, you know, we kind of just duct taped the front and said, okay, well, let's go. And we went to Canada. And then my performance fell off a little bit, so that was disappointing. You know, I didn't perform well in Canada. I definitely made some driver error. And, you know, I just had a hard, I was having a hard time getting adjusted to the car, and it finally all came together this weekend, thankfully. You know, in mid-season, we, even a little past mid-season, Quain Stott came on board with us, and he was 2006 IHRA Pro Mod champion, and the first thing he said to me this weekend was, "Welcome to the club," and that was, there's no better words to have been uttered to me than that.
That's sure, and it's a pretty, you know, distinct thing to have now. In the IHRA series, and I'm trying to, I was looking at the website, trying to find the ladders, and they do, I guess they don't have one for the Pro Mod class, which is kind of sad. But
No, they do Nitro Jam, probably, because we run, there's IHRA and then there's IHRA Nitro Jam.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know I saw it somewhere, but yeah. It's hard because I was dealing with looking at everything on the phone all weekend. You know, I do doing all my social media through the phone, and there was a bet earlier in the year about the boys having to wear tutus, and it kind of never came to fruition, but for that final pass against Billy Harper, I had made the boys wear, I said, well, we already won, so put those tutus on. So so we have now started a tradition with tutus, much to their dismay, but you know, if you're going to do it with style.
That's for sure, and you know, it's just one of the things that, hey, you know, they lost the bet, so they get to cater to that. Now, as far as, now, do you have a one car? There, like, do you have, like, backup car and bodies and all?
No, we actually had, it's not like a funny car body, so the whole body doesn't come off, just the nose does. So therefore, when I went into the sand, you know, we had this, just kind of nicked the front of it, so we threw some duct tape on it for the next race, and we did fix it before the final, though. And we're very thankful to Bruce Mullins Paint, because he's a fellow racer, but he actually happens to be a fantastic painter, and he helped us out with that. And we used to actually run two cars. It was my husband and myself. We ran a 53 and a 63 Corvette, both Corvettes. And we actually got rid of both. We had the opportunity to build Stella last year, and we had gotten rid of both cars just to field the one. My husband gave up his seat for me to focus on me driving, which, you know, there's a lot to be said for that, too. And we brought home the championship. So, you know, it's just, we'd love to get back to being a two-car team. That's really how everybody knows us, as kind of a husband and wife team. You know, we're hoping that maybe we'll get the funding to come back to that. You know, we're so blessed. Like, we actually, just before, we both had gotten the flu the week of the finals.
Oh.
We both suffered from the flu. Yeah, and bad. So, you know, there was one point where he said to me, if you're not any better, you can't, oh, I am driving, I don't care what you're doing. But, and due to that, I didn't get to release the fact that Hussey Performance has just hopped on board with us. We thank them very much. You know, late in the season, you know, they hopped on board and said, you know, hey, we're looking forward to being with the team. And then we won the championship, so that was a great thing. And, you know, we've had companies like NGK, LAT, DJ Safety, CRC Auto, USA Auto Supply, Speedwire, Stainless Works, Hoosier, Rob Mathias built Stella, and Motorsports Unlimited. All of these companies really have stayed behind us through thick and thin. You know, last year we didn't race, and a lot of those companies still stayed on board with us even through the build process when we had no car.
Wow.
So there's so much to be said for that. And then this year we come out. It's the first year of IHRA Pro Mod. IHRA is where Pro Mod started. You know, people like Quain Stott, Scotty Cannon, Carl Spearing is the person who first put me in a Pro Mod. You know, when my very first pass in a Pro Mod, Carl was there talking me through the process. because, of course, I couldn't have my husband there because, you know, we're Italian and we fight too much. We don't fight too much, but, you know, it's like, I can't listen to what he tells me. But here he's IHRA champion, and he, so it was nice to see it come full circle, and I'm so honored that I can be the champion, the first champion for IHRA, bringing ProMod back. Power Camp can't thank them enough for sponsoring the series. That's just amazingly cool. And one thing I didn't get to say in my banquet speech this weekend was thank you to the staff and crew of IHRA. I have to tell you, I mean, they work their fingers to the bone to keep a safe racing surface for us. You know, all day, their efforts are tireless. So, you know, we definitely want to thank them for that.
Well, that's pretty cool. Oh, I did find the round results. And, yeah, I could see the difference between round one and round two. When you said with the reaction time there, that must have been something that the sun was just at the wrong angle that.
No, the dew had set in. It was dark. The dew had set in, so the side window fogged up. I couldn't really see those dew. Yeah. It was a little tough, but but you know what? It happens. Things happen. Like I said, thankfully we had the win from the round before, and let me tell you that round win was a pedal fest. Car went out and it just kind of went left. I stayed in it a little bit, really went towards the center line. I lifted and my husband never gets on the radio, but I didn't see. I was racing Robert Packer, who's a seasoned veteran as well. And my husband just yelled in my ear, pedal it, pedal it, pedal it, go, 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 go. And I did, and I got the wind light, and I needed that. And I was up before Bill left. And then we waited for him to come around the corner because the way the top end is, that you can't really tell what is going on, and we couldn't hear the announcement. And when Bill came around the corner, that was when we realized that we had just taken the championship. So it's crazy stuff.
Well, it all worked out, and it's good to see that you did get the title, and you know, just watching it, some of the times, I mean, a good run, I guess, is in the high fives. And that's...
Yeah, well, Billy Harper, definitely. And, you know, and that's this car's capabilities. We've been battling some issues here and there. And this car is so great and so solid. It's a beautiful car to drive, so I'm really looking forward to the future of what this car has in it. And you know, Queen has been, as I said, an amazing addition, and I can't leave out Cynthia. You know, the Queen's better half. She works tirelessly with him, and you know, she's very quiet about it, but nobody realizes how much she actually does. And a big thank you to Butch Branzell, who is he's our crew guy that's been with us all year, who really volunteers his time. I can't say enough about that, you know, for ravioli, pretty much. My brother Charlie, who he crews with us many times, and, you know, that's a lot of fun, too, when we have him around. His nickname is Uncle Mel. But, there's so many people that I want to thank. And one thing that I do want to mention, you know, for many of you who know, I was a former professional figure skater.
That's right.
On Saturday, after I won, I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep, and I guess I was just, you know, still pumped up. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I went on Facebook, and I wanted to message my skating coach to let him know. You know, he kind of shaped my competitive, helped to shape my competitive nature. And I found out that he died suddenly on Friday.
Aww.
And it was so bittersweet because I said, wow. And it was almost like I said, well, I guess I guess he was pushing me through that finish line. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention Lee Meadows. I'm very sorry for losing him, but I kind of feel like he was there for me. So.
Oh, I'm sure he was watching over you and in the car with you, guiding you along. It's probably... That way, and it helped everything. I'm sorry to hear that. It's always sad when, you know, somebody haven't, you want to get in contact with and things happen like that. But it's just one of those deals there. Now, for the off season, I guess you have an off season now. You won the championship. What fun things do you get to do? Are you going to go to other racing events and hang out, or are you just
going to? Well, we are we're debating possibly going to PDRA next week at Virginia Motorsports Park. Excuse me, because that happens to be our home track. So that happens to be their final event. So, and you know, we thought maybe we would just get one more race in. We had wanted to go to PDRA during the year, and we just couldn't swing doing both. We would love to have run IHRA and PDRA, but we couldn't swing doing both. We had to commit to one, so we committed to IHRA. PDRA, they run 8 mile as opposed to quarter mile.
Okay.
So a little bit of a difference. They have some great racing over there. And we figure we'll go and enjoy with the winners there for their last race and, you know, get one race in, a little more seat time, and, you know, just enjoy ourselves and get to see a lot of our friends, too. You know, racing is such a big family. We really are a big family, and we support each other. And I can't say enough about the messages, the well wishes that I got, especially from the ladies supporting the ladies, you know, getting messages from my friends everywhere, my fellow racers, Carolyn Melendi, Annette Summer, amazing racers in their own right. My friends, I got a message from Erica Anders Stevens, message from Bunny Burkett, who actually, I have a handwritten note from Bunny Burkett on the driver's door of my car, which means a lot to me, and I felt like that really carried me through the season. So, you know, and if I'm leaving anybody out, I'm sorry, but, you know, just a shout out to all the lady racers that, you know, we all really kind of support one another, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Not going Carol Long, don't let me leave out Carol Long, because Carol Long runs, she runs a cool blown 63 event too. So.
Wow. Now, speaking of Erica, I was trying to, she called the show too. She's been calling ever since, I don't know, like a couple years ago. She called the show. She got her first win, and she's been calling ever since. And last year she won the Pro Stock Championship, of course, NHRA. But that's good that all you ladies hang together. It's a distinct club that, and as far as motorsports go, the drag racing community, whether it's the IHRA or the NHRA, is the only one where I see women excel to the top levels of their divisions and, you know, that whatever they want to compete in is. And it's just a shame that in the oval track circuit or the road course circuits and the stock cars and open wheel cars, they're not getting the same opportunities to shine like you do and everybody else in the drag racing community. So it's a pretty amazing how you all stick together like that. And now another woman champion, which is a good thing to see. It must be fun taking the big crown away from the guys after, you know, with all the domination that they've had. And I guess over the course of time, till women want to get into motorsports, like you going from figure skating to drag racing, it's kind of a strange jump, but must be all seem well worth
you know,
it now.
It's funny. First of all, I think that my skating actually helps me to feel what goes on in the car, oddly. From moving on the ice, the way when I sit in the seat, I think it gives me a different feeling for what's going on in the car. That's how I look at it. And the funny thing is, you know, when I skated for Ice Capades, we traveled from city to city, week to week. We went to different venues, but we saw a lot of the same people. We got to meet the fans, you know, let's say after the show. We put on a show. And so kind of essentially it's the same thing. You know, I always tell everybody, I traded my sequins for a fire suit and my skates for tires, but otherwise it's really relatively the same thing. You know, the best part about drag racing also is the fact that our fans, they get to come into the pit area and hang out with us, you know what I mean? We're accessible. It's every ticket is a pit pass. You don't need that golden ticket. So, you know, we always encourage everyone, you know, bring the family, bring the kids, you know, just bring the sunscreen and some ear protection and you're good to go.
That's true. You could also bedazzle your fire suit if you wanted to and make it all sparkly and shiny.
Actually, I just had my helmet painted really cool. Chuck Buckler just painted my helmet, and it looks like a showgirl headpiece. I'm all about the bedazzling. You know, I say I was born with glitter in my veins and a lead foot.
That's neat. As a matter of fact, one of my photographers was out covering one of your events, Gil Smith, and he said he was going to make sure he got some photos of you for the people he was covering for, but I don't know if you got to meet him, but I told him to say hi, but maybe it was all lost in things, but...
He meant what track?
I can't remember. It's a few...
Oh.
A few
sometimes the track will bring it back.
That's true. I'd have to go into my emails. Matter of fact, he sent me where to get put in for credentials for IHRA if I wanted to get to one of the local tracks, but the way things were going, it wasn't going to Maryland, the Nitro Jam.
Okay. You know what? I'm sure he did. Maryland was a bit of a whirlwind because we had that huge tropical storm that came through. At the time, Ruben Teschiavelli was the points leader. And I took him out first round. And so that was where the points lead began, was in Maryland, which is funny. I said, you know, I finally needed something good to happen at Maryland because I've crashed there. So.
Oh, that's good. Isn't
it? And it did. Yeah. You know, you kind of have to turn everything around. So, and I happen to love that track. So crashes or not, that's a fabulous facility to race at. It really is.
You live in Pennsylvania, so I'm surprised that... Have you checked out Maple Grove in Reading?
Well, of course. I mean, I've been to Maple Grove over the years, but my very first time even seeing a drag race was at Super Chevy in Maple Grove. And Maple Grove is an NHRA track, so IHRA would not, the two sanctioning bodies are separate.
Yeah,
so.
That's just it. Man. You can't race here because we race here type of thing. Usually some...
Yeah. It's not that we can't race there. I mean, you know, I could certainly race there for something else, but we didn't have any events scheduled there for anything.
Right.
Oh wait, no, I'm lying. No, I actually did go there for the import versus domestic race. We were there. That was pretty cool. That was a pretty packed race. Again, Mother Nature, she definitely put the kibosh on a lot of that too. Mother Nature was tough this year, so somebody needs to give her a bottle of wine and some chocolate.
Some good homemade Italian red wine.
she has definitely wreaked havoc on us this year, so hopefully next year will be better when it comes to weather-wise, anyway.
Yeah, that's just the thing. When it comes to racing, when... You need good sunny days, and cool temperatures too makes for better ETs, and it's just amazing how that works. If you're running in hot, muggy weather, then your times might be off by a thousandth or two of a second, where if you're running cooler, then it just looks like, wow, some of the speeds you get, and ETs are, you usually tend to set records like that.
Yes, yeah, the cooler weather for sure.
So, what does your off season consist of now, other than maybe going to the one last event?
You know what? We're going to work on the car. It looks like we may possibly be relocating a little further south. And so we have a lot to do. You know, of course, we'll get out and do some testing in the interim. You know, we still want to keep up and keep everything moving and keep everything moving in the direction that we would like to go. You know, so the off season is not the off season. You know what I mean? That's kind of where it's more like the catch up season.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So you know, we'll hit. We're going to go to PRI in December. Last year we actually showed the car at PRI. We were in the Stainless Works booth. This year we'll just be going and walking around, and we're hoping that next year, you know, of course, for 2016, we do need marketing partners, just like everybody else, of course. So, you know, we're hoping that that 2016 will bring upon some more marketing partners so we can get back out there and try to do this all over again.
Well, having that championship crown and that big trophy saying, see, this is what I did without you. I could do more with you. That kind of might have a, it's kind of like
that's
a,
kind of like what did you do on your summer vacation, right?
Right.
Not that it was a vacation, but
it's easier to get fun marketing partners if you have a title under your belt. Then if it isn't. So congratulations on your 2015 championship, and you're always welcome to come back on the show, and you have all my contact info now, I think I've given you just about everything. Facebook, got myself as a, so new Twitter, I think I follow you on Twitter as well, I'm not sure.
Anyone who wants to find us, you can either go to DinaParisiRacing.com. That's Dina with an I and Parisi with an E. We dare to be different. anyone who wants to, if you follow us on our social media, I actually do all of the social media. But I was a busy girl. I do all of the social media on my own. I like to be one-on-one with the fans. To me, that's the most fun part. You can find us on, because everybody doesn't do everything, so you can find us on Facebook. Our Facebook is D Parisi Racing. Our Twitter is D Parisi Racing. And Instagram, D Parisi Racing. And I do try to mix it up, and sometimes you'll see the same post and move things around so that everybody kind of gets to see different things no matter what they're on. We're also on Google+, LinkedIn, so you can really find us anywhere. Check out our YouTube page. There's some really cool videos up there. I'll be making some more in the upcoming months. And that's it. So, you know, anybody can find us and hop along with us. I kind of have a crazy, kitschy sense of humor. So I kind of like to entertain more than anything else. So
that's for sure.
Come along for the ride. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I guess I'll have to follow you, send you an invitation on LinkedIn and Google+. I'm on them too, as well as Twitter and all that. Everything's a little different. My Facebook is, I got my personal page, which we're connected to, and my Garage Talk Live page. And I wish if there's a way to link them all together and you could do it all. Like you said, but you like to switch things up at times. So the only thing about Twitter is it's 140 characters. Give me an extra 10. Now make it an even 150.
Yeah, I am late. So, you know, I can go from Instagram to Twitter and Facebook if I'm posting a picture. Sometimes at the track I have to shortcut it just because I don't have the time. But like I said, a lot of times I like to kind of switch it up and post things and like to have a lot of fun with it. So, you know, I can't thank the fans and even fellow racers enough for the support that we've gotten this year. And you know, we'll just try to take this all in and and then just it'll make us just work harder for next year.
Sounds good. Well, Dina, I could sit and talk all day, but I think you have things to do, and I got a few other things to do. It's been a pleasure having you on, and don't be a stranger. Stay in touch throughout the year, and we'll get you back on the beginning of next season and throughout the season this time, and on your road to repeating as champion.
Thank you. Fantastic. Reach out to me anytime. Again, thank you very much for having me on, and definitely chat again in the beginning of the season. That seems to be a good option.
All right. You take care now.
Thanks. Take care.
Go ahead. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. Dina Parisi, Eric Enders, the defending pro stock champ, the newly crowned pro mod champ, two different sanctioning bodies, IHRA and NHRA, and Erica's got a good chance of repeating this year with giving her back-to-back wins. Well, anybody that saw the race at Kansas thought it was another day for Matt Kenseth, but with about 8 or 9 laps to go, Joey Logano was gaining on him and wound up, Kenseth tried to block, and Logano gave Kenseth a tap, putting him into a slide, which caused the caution to bring out a yellow for a green-white checker, which only turned out to be a couple laps extra. It was only went 269 over 267. But Logano went on the win, bringing him his second win in the Challenger 12 category, therefore forcing whoever wants to advance either winning next this weekend at Talladega and or suffering on points. If you look at the chase grid right now, the bottom four are Kyle Busch, Ryan Newman, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and defending champ Kevin Harvick. So that's going to be a tough one to make up. So when you look at the division there, we're going into a Talladega, a race where anything can happen, just like Daytona's the big wreck and all that. You have to realize that the one guy I guess I would have to go for to pick for this race would be the 88 of Dale Earnhardt Jr., so that's going to be my pick this week. Anyway, go to Garage Talk Live on Facebook, and you can make your picks there. I will make mine and have it posted by the end of the show, which will be coming up in a couple of minutes. I just want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.